Okay, good evening, everyone. This week's parasha is Parashas Chukas. That's page, and we're going to be starting on page 842, which would be Perek Chav, chapter 20. Yeah, Perek Chav, Pasuk Aleph. Vayavoy b'nei Yisrael. And the children of Israel came, the entire assembly, to the desert of Tzin in the first month. The nation settled in Kadesh. Miriam died there and she was buried there. There was no water for the assembly. And they gathered, they congregated on Moshe and Aaron. The nation quarreled with Moshe. And they said, if only we would have died with the death of our brethren before Hashem. Why have you brought the congregation of God to this desert? To die there, we and our cattle. And why did you bring us up from Egypt to bring us to this evil place? Let me come Zera Utaina Vigatvarima. It is not a place of seed, of fig, of figs, of geffen, of vine, of pomegranate. So my lishtes has no water to drink. Vayavoy Moshe Aaron Mikpeh HaKohol. Moshe Aaron came, entered because of the congregation of Pesach HaOmeid to the opening of the Mishkan. Vayipul Apneim. They fell on their faces. Vayirach Veda Hashem Aleihem, and the Adrav Hashem appeared to them. So here we have the Jewish people running out of water. Miriam dies. The Be'er, the well that had been the rock that traveled with them and supplied with water, had ceased giving water because it was there in the merit of Miriam. And the Jewish people came complaining. Now, Pasukim read, Vayarev Ha'am and Moshe. The nation quarreled with Moshe. And they said, if only we would have died like our brothers died, why have you brought the nation of God to this desert? So the Sephardim says, and this is important to know for later on, the Sephardim says that the Jewish people had two fights, so to speak, here. They had two complaints, or they had their complaints set on two things. Number one, on Moshe. And the first complaint on Moshe was, why have you brought the nation to this desert to die? Their point was on Moshe, they were complaining about his leadership. As a leader, you should not be bringing us to this terrible place. You brought us to this part of the desert. It's very bad here. There's nothing to eat or drink. Why are you bringing us to such a terrible part of the desert? That is their complaint against Moshe. The next thing that they say in Pasuk Dal, V'lama haveisim eskal Hashem el ha-midbar hazeh, and why have you brought the congregation of, and then the next Pasuk Hei, V'lama ha-elisuna mimitzrayim, and why have you brought us, and why did you bring us up from Egypt to bring us to this evil place? At this point, when the Jewish people are complaining about being brought out of Egypt, that's not a complaint on Moshe. That's a complaint against Hashem. So there's two complaints here. There's a complaint against Moshe's leadership. There's a complaint against Hashem. It doesn't say here that they quarreled with Hashem. They say they quarreled with Moshe. Later on, we're going to see the Torah describes it as a quarrel with Hashem. But the points in the Sephardim way is two complaints. Moshe, why did you bring us here to this place? Your leadership is lacking, bringing us to this very bad part of the desert. And then number two, a complaint against Hashem, why take us out of Egypt in the first place?
But Hashem guided Moshe all along. Why is it that he is breaking it up?
Excuse me? Why are they complaining against Moshe?
Yeah, why?
Not sure. It's a good question. Apparently, the Jewish people either see or in some way or another, typically we find wherever the cloud went, that's where they went. That's a good question. I'm not sure exactly. I don't know if this is just a complaint for the sake of complaining, if there's anything really substantial to it or not. It sounds like it's not what you're saying, but according to your question, which is a good question. I'm not sure exactly how to answer it. But that's what the Sephardim explains, that they're complaining against Moshe, and they're complaining against Hashem. Okay. Which, maybe what it means is, and this may come up later, is that in essence, it's true that Moshe is Hashem's emissary and everything being done through Moshe. But it could be that it depends on Moshe's merits also as to how Hashem commands him. Meaning, you, Moshe, are going to be, they're saying to Moshe that Hashem commands you according to your worthiness.
Well, but then Hashem commanded Moshe to take them out of Egypt.
Well, that's not a complaint against Moshe, that's a complaint against Hashem.
But
that part the Sephardim says, the complaint about Egypt is a complaint against Hashem. The first part where it says, why did you bring us to this desert, is a complaint against Moshe. Now there your question would be, yeah, but the Jewish people all followed what the cloud led them to. Wasn't Moshe deciding, here we go this way, here we go that way? So why the complaint? So what's their complaint specifically to Moshe? So I don't really know, other than perhaps in some way or another, Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem guides Moshe Rabbeinu, depending on his merits. Moshe Rabbeinu's guidance has to do with his power of prophecy and how well maybe he interprets his prophecy. I don't know exactly how to answer it. Okay. So we're now about to enter the episode of the Meibariva, the water of quarreling, in which Moshe Rabbeinu was given the final decision not to enter the land because of what he did. Now let's read. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe lemar. And Hashem said to Moshe, saying, Kachas amata, take the staff, Vakela tzoeda, gather together, congregate the assembly, Atav Aaron Achicha, you and Aaron your brother, Vidibartem el Aselele Einehem, you shall speak to the rock in front of them, but Hassan Meimavit shall give his water, and it will give its waters. Vatseis lemayim and asela, and you shall bring out water from the rock. Vishkisa so edav es beirav, and you shall give the assembly and their cattle to drink. So Hashem says to Moshe, he says, you and Aaron your brother, you will speak to the rock in front of them, and it will give its water, and you will bring out water from them from the rock. There seems to be two things here, or it sounds like the same thing. It says, speak to the rock, and it will give its water, and you will bring out the water from the rock. Sounds like stating the same thing twice. We'll see what the two things here are. But this was the charge. Speak to the rock, and the water will come from the rock. Vayikach Moshe es hamat lefnei Hashem. Moshe took the staff from before God. Kasher tzivo, as Hashem commanded him. Moshe and Aaron assembled the people in front of the rock. And he said to them, Shimuna Hamayrim, listen now, our rebels. Shall we bring forth water for you from this rock? Moshe lifted up his hand. And he hit the rock with his stick twice. And lots of water came out. And the assembly and their cattle all drank. Okay, here's the water. Hashem said to Moshe and to Aaron, Ya'an lo hamantem bi, because you did not believe in me, lak nisheni le'enei b'nei Yisrael, to sanctify me in front of the Jewish people, lochei le'siviv asakohol azeh el ha'aretz asher nasati lohem. Therefore, you shall not bring this assembly to the land that I have given you. Heim amei meriva. These are the waters of strife. Asherem b'nei Yisrael as Hashem, where the children of Israel quarreled with Hashem, by Kadesh Bam, and it was sanctified through them. So here, right before, it was a nation quarreling with Moshe, and here the Torah says, a nation quarreled with Hashem. Believe according to the Sephornu, there were two qualities here. There were two things here. There was a quarreling with Moshe, complaining against Moshe, and complaining against Hashem. By Kadesh Bam, and Hashem is sanctified in their midst. Now at this point. So Moshe is chastised and Aaron is chastised for not believing in Hashem, not sanctifying God in front of the Jewish people. Their result of that is not to enter the land of Israel with the Jewish people. And then the Torah declares, these are the waters of quarreling and God was sanctified by those waters. Now, Hashem said to Moshe, Hashem chastised Moshe for not sanctifying him. And now it says he was sanctified. So what exactly happened? So I want to share with you how the Sephornu explains this episode of the Meibariva. Because if I'll ask you, what did Moshe do wrong? So what are you going to say? Hashem said, speak, and Moshe hit. Right? That seems to be, twice. That seems to be the standard explanation. So the Sephornu says, that there have been already many opinions and explanations given for what Moshe did wrong. Because what's interesting is that Moshe is chastised, as we just read, Lo hamantem. You didn't believe in me. Okay, Hashem says, hit the rock, speak to the rock. He hits the rock. He didn't listen to what Hashem said. Is that not believing in God? I mean, he didn't listen to what Hashem said. Seems to be a little bit of an odd way of saying, if the whole idea was he didn't listen to what Hashem said, that the complaint is you didn't believe in me. Okay, Ma'altem. We also know that Moshe Rabbeinu, not in this week's parsha, but later on the Torah, Moshe is chastised for what happened here, for Me'ilah. Me'ilah is the word that's used when you have personal benefit from something sanctified to the Beis HaMikdash. When you desecrate something sanctified, that's called Me'ilah. So Moshe is called Ma'alta, Moshe and Aaron Ma'alta, because you committed Me'ilah. You abused the sanctity. That's why you're not entering the land of Israel. Again, what does Me'ilah mean in this context? What sanctity of God did they abuse, did they disrespect, that they're called, that the Torah says they were Ma'altam, you committed Me'ilah. And then Merisim. Another thing Moshe is called rebelling against Hashem. What are these three things that are Sephornu? You didn't believe in me, you were Mayel, you desecrated my sanctity, and you rebelled. What are these three things? And if the intention of God was they should only speak to the rock, why did Hashem tell Moshe to take the stick? Right? That's the first thing he said, take the stick. Why? You need the stick what do you need the stick for? The gathering of people? Otherwise you can't gather the people without the stick? If at the point is Hashem tells Moshe to speak, what did Moshe do wrong? He hit. So why did Hashem tell him to take the stick? Okay. Now, and again, if the sin is that Moshe hit the rock, not like what he was commanded to do, what did Aaron do wrong? I mean, again, Hashem says, you and Aaron, Hashem says to Moshe, gather the people, out of Aaron, Achicha, you and your brother Aaron, Vidi Bar Tem, you, plural, shall speak to the rock. And what happens at the end? It doesn't say Aaron hit the rock. It says Moshe hit the rock.
But Aaron didn't stop him.
Okay, but the first step is the fact that it says Moshe lifted his hand and he hit the rock. So the Sephornu says, if the point was to speak, so Moshe, we see, was the one who didn't speak. He was the one who hit the rock. What did Aaron do wrong? So Barry wants to say, you should have stopped him. Okay, yeah, perhaps.
There was a English sentence which says, Moshe and Aaron gathered the congregation before the rock, and he said to them, it's not clear who he refers to. How is it in Hebrew?
I'm sorry, where are you?
On top of that page it says, Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation before the rock, and he said to them.
Which passage are you reading?
It's 10.
He said to them?
Yes. Moshe said to them.
I guess God.
No, it's Moshe. Vayakhilu Moshe va'aron es hakol p'nei ha'sala va'yoymer lohem. Who's going to be the one speaking there? Moshe. Okay. So these are the questions that the Sephornu has. So therefore the Sephornu says, this is how to explain it. He says, Amnam k'shenesboinim b'inyan ha'mariva roi shenachshev shetia mitzvah sakel ba'ze al oifen shiyakiru rishas mariva asam v'yisvadu es chatosam v'shov v'raf olamay. Okay, step number one, says Sephornu, is that whatever Hashem is telling Moshe and Aaron to do here, it means to help the Jewish people recognize what they have done wrong so that they should repent and be forgiven by Hashem. The Jewish people come complaining there's no water. Hashem says to Moshe, this is what you're going to do. So the Sephornu says the context of that is that whatever Moshe and Aaron are being told to do is to get the Jewish people to realize what they have done wrong and to do tshuva. And therefore, if Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron are both held responsible for not doing that, that means again that if the goal was to get them to realize their mistake, Moshe and Aaron erred in not accomplishing that. And for that, they were punished. The complaint against Moshe was the fact that they complained against his leadership and the fact that he brought them to that bad part of the desert. I don't know how to answer your question, but that's what he says. V'alakel yisbara chaysa merivasam ba'amram shetzim eretz noyshebes taivel eretz midbar. The complaint against Hashem was taking them out of Egypt, which was a good land to be in, to a land, to a desert where there's nothing. U'lohidiyam esrisham bazeh, and to make them, help them understand and realize the evil that they did by this complaining, his chayim shia hanes moidia shaliach hayamanik b'shleimus shemeshaleach heite b'shlichus of lohera klal. Now, the miracles that Hashem now wants to perform through Moshe and Aaron have to be miracles by which the correction of what the Jewish people complained about will be made. If they complain against Moshe, then this miracle has to show them that Moshe is a loyal, dedicated, and trustworthy emissary of Hashem. And if they're complaining against Hashem taking them out of Egypt, the miracle has to help them realize that Hashem, whatever Hashem is doing for them, he's doing for their good. That has to be what the miracle is going to accomplish. If we have to get them to realize their mistake, then the miracle is going to be to help them realize. If they're going to, if the miracle is going to show them their wrongdoing, then the miracle has to show them that the way they treated Moshe, what they think of Moshe is incorrect, what they think of Hashem is incorrect. Now the Sephora tells us that whenever we find miracles in the Torah, there are three categories of miracles. Ho'echad u'neis nister. One is a hidden miracle. K'mo yuridas ha-matar v'ha-hemlet min ha-chaloyim u'min ha-tsaris. V'zeh ha-min min ha-nisim yasigiu ha-tzadikim b'tfilasam. K'in yom ha-ispal Avraham el ha-loikim, v'ayerpa el-loikim ha-savimelech. K'in ispal ha-meshe v'ad ha-am. Okay, the first thing is a hidden miracle. A hidden miracle means that something natural happens, but it doesn't happen in your most normal way. If a tzaddik davens, right, and all of a sudden you're better, then that's a miracle. If Avimelech's household, you know, everyone is closed up. No one can release anything from their bodies. And when Avram prays, and now everybody, all of a sudden at the same time, everybody gets better, that's a miracle, but it's something, but what took place was not supernatural. You know, something natural happened to them that they couldn't give birth, they couldn't release anything from their bodies, and now that blockage, whatever it was taken away. That's a natural occurrence, but it's a hidden miracle because the way it happened was miraculous. Avram prays, and it's gone. That's one kind of miracle. It's a miracle that's happening completely within nature, but it's a miracle because of the fact that, again, it's not happening under normal circumstances. Avraham is praying, and then this natural occurrence takes place. So that's the first type of miracle. V'habe is the second. Huneis nigla. It's an open miracle. Lo yuchal ha-teva la'aseise bo'ese ha'ifen. Nature cannot do it in that manner. V'zahamin min ha'nisim yaseo ha'kel yisparach al yedei avadav. This kind of miracle will happen through Hashem's servants. With starting with an arranged act from Hashem's servant. Now, he means like this. You've got certain types of miracles that are, again, naturally it can't happen. But what's happening is something natural in a manner that it shouldn't happen. Okay? It's a natural thing. The occurrence is natural. But the fact that it's occurring in this manner is supernatural. So an example. Moshe was told, pick up your stick and throw it to the ground. Okay? Now, again, this part I'm not really sure how to explain. I don't know what kind of natural thing is happening here that he's referring to. When he talks about throwing down the stick and it turns into a snake, I'm really not sure what he means there. He talks about the splitting of the Red Sea. Right? And there was a wind blowing at the same time. He seems to be saying that we have supernatural things that could naturally happen, but in this manner they don't. And in that kind of situation where something natural is occurring under supernatural circumstances, that miracle usually comes about through a prophet, through Hashem's emissary. The emissary has to perform a certain act, and now through that act, the miracle will take place. But he calls it a nes nigla. It's an open miracle. It's a miracle that naturally could happen. However, in this manner, it couldn't happen. Now, you'll see. I'll jump ahead for a second. I'll give you an example. You know, until now, we know that when the Jewish people first left Egypt, there was no water. So what did Hashem give them? He gave them the be'er, the well. Gave them the rock that traveled with them. According to the Sifurna, the way Sifurna writes later on, that rock was not necessarily producing miraculous water. But rather, that rock was drawing natural water to this place, to the desert. It was a miracle that it could do it. Okay? Water can flow. If you could somehow or another, you know, dig irrigation ditches and get the water to flow into the desert, the water is going to flow in the desert. But in the manner that the water landed up flowing in the desert all those 40 years, there wasn't no natural way of getting it, making it happen. It happened through the rock. But the rock was not creating, according to Sephora, new brand new miraculous water. But it was bringing natural water in a way that naturally couldn't happen. Okay? That's the second type of miracle. V'hagimel, the third, humin min hanisim shlo yuchal ha'tevel ha'seisim v'shem oifin. Then there is the kind of miracle that just cannot happen natural. It's completely supernatural. The occurrence is not natural. It's completely supernatural. When that kind of miracle takes place, it only happens with, again, it happens through an emissary, through some shliach, but there's no act involved. Only dibra, only speech. Shipu'ula sichlis, because that is an action that is most coming from intellect. And it's the most honorable, it's the most distinguished act of all acts of a human being. The act of speech is the most distinguished act because it's an act that is solely intellect, is primarily based on intellect. Okay, last week's parsha, he gives an example. The land opens up its mouth and swallows Korach. And what happens there? After Moshe finished speaking, and the land split. So the Sephardim was saying, the land opening its mouth to swallow Korach was completely supernatural, which means, according to him, it's not like all of a sudden, a earthquake, right, and you fall in, or a sinkhole and you fall in. That's not what it was. It was something just completely, the land just opens up and they got swallowed up and it closed up and there's absolutely no sign of anything. It's like it never happened before. That is completely supernatural. How did that take place? Just with Moshe speaking. We know in the book of Yeshua commands the sun not to set. It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. And how did Yeshua make it happen? Through speech. Okay, so we've got the three miracles. The of the three miracles, the two to focus on, says the Sephornu, what the Sephornu is about to say, the two to focus on are the nes nigla, the open miracle that needs the act of Hashem's emissary. That's the kind of miracle where something natural occurs, but only occurs in a supernatural way. And then there's the third one, which is the entire thing is supernatural, and that only happens through speech. So now, the miracle that's going to take place here with the water has to be a miracle that's going to show the greatness of Hashem. Umavar gam kein milas hashaliach v'tuvai. It also has to make clear to the Jewish people the greatness of Hashem's emissary Moshe. V'shehu mucha nal shayetiv amelech al yadai la'amai. And he is the one most fit to be Hashem's emissary for the king to perform what he wants to do to his nation. V'yisboyer milas hamashaliach v'min agimel min anisim. Which one of the three miracles is going to be the miracle that's going to bring out the greatness of the king, or the one sending the emissary? Which one's going to do that?
The big one.
Which is
the son,
the language.
The what?
The one with language.
The one with language. The one that you said, like one with the son. The third one, the one that is completely supernatural, right? The one has the least amount of nature or physicality involved in it. Something that nature could never ever do. That's what's going to bring out the greatness of the king. It can't happen. It doesn't happen any other way. There's nothing else involved. It's clear that it's all Hashem. Now, if you want to know the greatness of the emissary, that'll come out by the fact that he does something. Meaning, the fact that he says something is really still seen as Hashem. You don't see from the third one, from the speech of the emissary, you're not going to see his greatness. That's really even though it's coming through his speech. That's you see the greatness of the king, the greatness of the Mishaleach, the greatness of the one sending. But if you want to see the greatness of the emissary, he has to be doing something. He has to be showing that he's the one worthy of doing things by the command of Hashem. Uvechaintziva hakel yisparach sheyavei chasela lamayim kaamrei v'nasan meimav kolay mashu amayim in asela leinim shachma kam acher elav. Okay. We said before, the Pasuk says that Hashem said, speak to the rock in front of the Jewish people, v'nasan meimav, it shall give its water. Its water means not that the water is coming from somewhere else here or through that. This rock is going to turn into water because you're going to get water out of this rock. That means the rock has to turn into water, whatever that means exactly. But in order to extract water from this rock, the rock's got to turn into water, says the Sefornu. It has to now contain the property of water. Okay? And therefore, he says, V'zeh ha'yanimna zulasi b'yaisei nepach mitzure selah tzures mayim. K'sherecha kach ba'omra mitzir l'chamay mitzure ha'chalamish. That doesn't happen naturally. Rocks don't turn into water. And therefore, that's the miracle that shows the greatness of the one of the sender. And he brings a proof from this, from the fact that later on in the Torah, when the Torah again speaks about bringing out the water, the pasuk says Hamaytzi l'chamayim, referring to Hashem who took for you, who brought you out water. Mitzrach halamish. Mitzrach halamish means from the flintstone. It's a certain type of rock, a very dry, hard rock. So the Sefornu says the fact that the Torah talks about bringing out the water. Mitzurah Chalamish, from a specific type of stone, is a raya that we're not talking about bringing water that is somewhere else here, but rather the water is coming from the rock. If what's happening here is the water is miraculously coming from another source, who cares what kind of rock it was? No rock is going to be able to bring the water here naturally. So why focus on what kind of rock? Okay, v'zehamin min anisim layuchal asahu ateva b'shem oifin v'lay b'shem zman. It's never possible naturally for that to happen. V'tziva shezeyia al yedei dibur abadav. And that was supposed to be done through the speech of his servants. Ka'amrei, as it says, v'dibartim al asela, you shall speak to the rock. That's the speaking. The speaking to the rock is the way this kind of third category miracle takes place, where something supernatural occurs that never could happen naturally. It happens through the speech of Hashem's emissary, and that was supposed to be Moshe and Aaron speaking. L'man yakir Yisrael sh'yazeh ha'nes min amin ha'gimo ka'amar. So the Jewish people should recognize this is from the third category of miracles. L'shiyu mayim nigar mishem emakim acher, not the words coming from somewhere else. V'zeyedu goydel v'tuv ha'mishalech. And through this they'll recognize the greatness and the goodness of the sender. V'yashivu elibam, and they'll take to heart sha'afapi shahitziyam mitzrayim ala midbar, and they'll take to heart that even though here they are in this desert, it doesn't look good, it's a terrible place, ein b'zera klal b'yais imam, there's no evil there, Hashem is with them. Achar sheyesh b'yado osim midbar lagamayim, he can turn a desert into a pond or into a lake of water. V'zulat zeh mimashal yuchel ateva olav, something that nature can never do. V'shemhu kan ha'kol kan, if the Rebbeinu Shlom is here, you have everything. Ka'amar, as it says, Hamidbar ha'yisir l'Yisrael, was I not a desert for the Jewish people? So the first step is that Hashem is saying to Moshe Rabbeinu and to Aaron, you have to speak to the rock. When you speak to the rock, the Jewish people will realize this is the third category of miracle, a miracle that nature has no hand in. And if it's a miracle that nature has no hand in, then that means that whatever situation you are in, the Ribbono Shel Olam is there to take care of you. You don't have to be worried about anything. You don't need anything of nature for this to happen. All you need is the Ribbono Shel Olam, and this kind of miracle is going to say, the Ribbono Shel Olam is here with you. You have nothing to worry about. That is what was supposed to be happening to counter the Jewish people's complaint against Hashem, and that was supposed to happen as it's supposed to happen through Dibur, through the speech of Hashem's emissary. That was what Hashem said to Moshe, Amar v'dibartim, you should speak to the rock. Okay, now. But that's taking care of the Ribbono Shel Olam. The next step is that after the rock turns into water, now Moshe is going to take his staff and he's going to basically draw the water to go to all the tribes. This is why Hashem told Moshe to take the staff, and as it says, and you will bring out water to them. Step number one is the rock has to give its water, which he explains that to mean that the rock has to turn into water. It has to develop water, has to turn into water. You got to have this rock turning into water to bring water out. And that's the first step that happens with speaking. The next thing is, and bring out water to them. Bring out water to them is, take the water of the rock, and now with your staff, you now lead the water to where it has to go, to all the tribes. So Moshe has supposed to use his stick. He's supposed to use his stick, and by using his stick, what that's going to accomplish is to see that Moshe is the one worthy of being Hashem's shliach, and don't have complaints against him. So that was the plan. That's the plan of Main Rebbe Sensei Sefernu. The plan is to basically speak to the rock so that the rock turns into water. You have that super supernatural miracle that has no involvement of nature, that shows the Jewish people that wherever you are, the Ribbono Shel Olam can take care of you. You have nothing to worry about no matter where you are. And then Moshe is supposed to take his staff and bring that water to them. And again, that's not natural either, right? Water flowing, bringing water to somewhere, okay, that's a natural water. For water to flow somewhere, that's natural. But how is that water from the rock going to flow to all the tribes? That has to happen through a miracle. That's going to happen through the miracle of Moshe's act, which will then show Moshe is Hashem's loyal servant. All right, this was the plan. What went wrong? What went wrong? Says the Sefernu.
I think Moshe was just angry.
Well, that's what he said. Wait a second. Okay. Maybe that's the explanation, but let's just see. Moshe and Aaron agreed to do the second category of miracle. Which is actually to bring the water, to draw the water from a different place to here, which is what they did in Rephidim. Rephidim was the first time they got the water. There, it wasn't the rock. The rock wasn't turning into water. There, they were bringing water from a different source to there. It was a miracle that the water could come there. But it was water that already existed naturally that now was being brought there miraculously. That is what Moshe and Aaron decided to do here. Ka'amrei v'hikisa batzur v'yatzimim enumayim. As it says over there in Parshas B'shalach, you hit the rock and the water comes out. The Sefernu was saying hitting the rock there, which was what Moshe was supposed to do, hitting the rock, means that's Moshe's act by which he miraculously brings water to this place. Okay. But that's what they decided to do here. Hashem told them to speak and to turn the rock into water, and they decided, no, they're doing the second type. They're doing the second type almost on their terms. And they're not just going to take the water of the rock and spread it, they're going to bring water from a different source here miraculously, as they did before. Why do they do that? Because they consider the Jewish people exceedingly rebellious. They felt they're not worthy of that. They're not worthy. Not everybody gets some kinds of miracles. We know that from many sources. Hashem doesn't just do miracles for anybody. And therefore, that higher form of miracle, Moshe and Aaron thought, Jewish people can't be worthy of that. From the way they're behaving and complaining after everything's said and done, Moshe's called them rebels for a reason. Because they really were being rebels. And therefore, Moshe and Aaron thought that they weren't worthy of that third type of miracle. And therefore, what do? They did the second type of miracle, which brings out the greatness of the shliach, of the emissary. They didn't do the third type, by which they would have brought out the greatness of the sender, by the greatness of Hashem. Okay? So let's put this together. So Moshe and Aaron, they decided to do the second type. The second type was the berach in which they do an action to bring the water from somewhere else. They basically have covered themselves, but they haven't covered everybody in the Shalilam. So you want to know what Aaron did wrong? He didn't talk to the rock. He was supposed to talk to the rock, and he didn't. V'dibar tem el asela. You're supposed to both speak to the rock. But then, but they changed from that.
But here it says, as he had commanded him. So Hashem didn't say anything to Aaron.
I don't know where you're saying that. Look at Pasek Ches. Kachas amat v'akela sa'eda tabrino chicha v'dibar tem el asela. Moshe takes the stick.
Right.
Okay. Moshe takes the stick. Okay. But they're both supposed to speak to the rock. That's how I understand it. So the point is, you know what Aaron did wrong? Because again, by not speaking to the rock, that means Moshe and Aaron both decided that miracle of category number three is not happening here. Only category number two. Category number two is like way they always did it. Where they always did it was Moshe hitting the rock. Doesn't explain why he hit it twice. But Moshe hitting the rock, that's the way they always did it. Okay? So therefore Hashem says, V'lazeh nechtav aleihem lo ha'amantem bi. You didn't believe in me. Shaharatzim, the meaning of that is, lo betachtem bi she'esem asha amarti. You didn't trust in me that I would say that I would do what I said. I said, speak to the rock, and the rock will give its water. I said, the third miracle is going to happen. And you didn't believe that that's going to happen. You didn't trust in me that I would do that. Uma'altem bi, you committed an ill against me, shechilatem kvedi. Basically, you desecrated my honor by not showing the Jewish people their folly by complaining against me. You didn't do a third type of miracle that would bring out the goodness of Hashem. That's the me'ilah. That's the desecration of Hashem's honor. You rebelled us, and says you didn't listen to me.
But the way he describes it is not a believing issue. He understood everything that Hashem wanted of him. He decided to do it the other way.
But he's explaining that to mean, okay, so let's go back for a second, okay? Why did Moshe, Hashem said, v'dibarat malasela, right? Hashem said, speak to the rock. So how did Moshe and Aaron decide, no, they're not worthy of that? Hashem said, speak to the rock.
These guys are so bad, they don't deserve.
But Hashem said, divide them. Hashem said, speak. Okay, the answer is going to have to be, right, that they, although Hashem said, divide them, right, they decided that although Hashem spoke in the manner of what should be, but they decided it can't be, that's what's going to happen. And in this case, dibarta means speak to the rock, means, you know, command the rock and do what you've always done. Moshe and Aaron cannot be deciding not to do what Hashem said, blatantly. That doesn't make sense. That Hashem is saying, speak, and they say, no, we're not speaking, they don't deserve it. Hashem said, speak.
Well, I thought that's what he said.
No. But I'm saying that doesn't make sense. I don't think that makes sense to say that Hashem said, do something. The Moshe Rabbeinu say, the wording of the Sefornu is that they thought, Kiloi Batra, they didn't trust that Hashem would fulfill his word. That means that Hashem said something, but they didn't trust he would do it. What does that mean? What does that mean? That has to, again, I can only think what it means is that, yes, they know Hashem said it in this manner. They know that. They know that he said speak. But they're interpreting, right, that speaking not to be literal.
Right.
Not to be literal because it can't be. They're not worthy of it. So he can't mean the dibaratim literally. He doesn't mean, Hashem doesn't mean the dibaratim literally. Okay, so Hashem told them something. And they decided how to interpret what Hashem said. So that Hashem is calling, Lo Hamantam, you did not trust in me. I told you something, and you did not trust, you did not accept what I said. You decided to interpret what I said. I said one thing, you didn't trust my actual word. You decided it can't mean that. You decided you're going to interpret what I mean. That's called not having a trust in the word of Hashem.
But didn't he used to speak to Pharaoh? He would only speak to him before in Egypt.
Yeah.
So this is the first time he did something different?
But this is not Pharaoh. This is something completely different.
Right, but he knew what it meant to speak.
Yeah, but it's completely different. Moshe knew what could be done. Moshe knew what v'dibartim could mean. He knew it could mean the third type of miracle. But he said, but him and Aaron decided this just can't be what it means. So that's the problem. The problem is that they weren't trusting in Hashem's word in the sense that Hashem said something. Hashem made a command, and they felt that, and they decided, no, the interpretation has to be this. And then Hashem said, you deviated from my word. You didn't trust in the actual word of what I said. That's a deviation that you're not supposed to make. And so that's the lo hamantim, you're not trusting in me. And the me'ila is, you're desecrating my sanctity because you were supposed to do the type of miracle that shows that, again, that Hashem is all good. That you don't need, there's nothing in nature that you need to be dependent on. That was missing in what the Jewish people should have learned. And at the end of the day, Marisa, you didn't listen to what I said. At the end of the day, you didn't do what I said. I'm not sure what that adds exactly, but that's what Sifrino explains.
Isn't it kind of odd why they ask you to speak something that's not going to speak back to you?
But that he says that you find that in other places. When it comes to this kind of miracle, that's what it is. It's not speaking to the rock. It's bringing about the miracle. The emissary has to do it. And the question is, what does the emissary do? So he does it through the power of speech. He does it through the act that is considered based on intellect more than anything. It's the least physical. It's one based most on intellect, more than just on physical action. Okay. So now, all right, so Hashem says to Moshe, okay, so he says to Moshe and Aaron, you didn't believe in me to sanctify me, you're not coming to the land. Then it says, these are the horrors of quarreling, that the Jewish people quarreled with Hashem, v'yikadesh b'am, and he was sanctified in them. Now, how is he sanctified? How is he sanctified? Says, therefore, he was sanctified in the following manner. And for this, we have to look a little bit later on. We have to skip a few, got to turn a few pages. We need to look on page 850, where the Jewish people are already traveling. You know, by the way, you know, this parsha, Parshas Chukas, what's taking place in this parsha is happening 50 years after last week's parsha. Between Shlach and Korach, which happened at the beginning of the 40 years, and this is at the end of the 40 years, there's in one parsha, 38 years went by, nothing happened. Dull, boring, no excitement, just straight serving Hashem without any problems. And then now towards the end, things start up again. Okay, take a look on page 850, three lines from the bottom. Pasuk Yudalad. Let's just read the Pasukim quickly. Al-Kenya Amar B'Sefer Melchamei Hashem. Therefore, it is said in the Book of Wars of Hashem, Es Vohev B'Sufa. Okay? The gift of the reeds, V'Sanacholem Arnoin, and the rivers of Arnoin. The Eshad HaNecholim, the outpouring of the rivers, Asher Notal L'Shem Es'ar, when it veered to dwell at Ar, V'Nishal L'Gvul Moav, and lead against the border of Moav. U'Misham Be'era, from there, Be'era, to the well, Hiya Be'era, this is the well, Asher Amar Hashem L'Moshe, Hashem said to Moshe, Esayf Es'am, gather the nation, V'Etnava Hamayim, and I'll give them water. Okay? So the Sefornu explains, Rashi has a similar explanation, but Sifrinu explains that what is this book of the wars of God? What are we saying should be recorded or should be stated in this book? So the Sifrinu explains that at this point the Jewish people are traveling. They're approaching the land of Canaan. The Amorim are living where they are traveling. And they should have been attacked by the Amorim, which we don't mention they were. But already at this point, they should have been attacked. Rashi says the Amorim were hiding. The Jewish people were passing through basically a valley. The Amorim were hiding on one side in the caves of a mountain, in which they were going to shoot down arrows and probably in big rocks on the Jewish people. And a miracle happened. They were in the caves. On the other side, you had a mountain that had protrusions of the mountain. They came together. Squish. That was the end of the Amorim. That's how Rashi brings down. It's a Gemara. The Sephardim says, based on the fact that Torah talks about the Nechalim, it talks about rivers, and it talks about outpourings of rivers, and it talks about water, that what happened was that what deterred the Amorim from attacking the Jewish people was basically the Baruch Shalom brought this big rain and a flood. He brought down torrential rain and big winds, and that flooded the rivers, and that stopped Sichon from being able to attack the Jewish people. And the water basically traveled up to where the Jewish people were encamping, and that protected them from Sichon. So that's a miracle. That's a miracle that should be recorded in the books of Hashem's wars on behalf of the Jewish people. Then, based on the other psukim, the Sephardim explains that these waters actually came up, the way I understand it, to a part where the Jewish people were not far from. It came like up, it was like there was an incline, right? So when the water came up there, the water should basically, let's say, going up and coming down, right? The water's not going to go upwards, right? Gravity pulls the water down. So maybe the water will splash up a little bit and then come down. Says Sephardim, but that's what the pasuk means when it says Misham Be'era, and from there to the Be'er. From there the water went to the Be'er. This is the Be'er that Hashem said to Moshe, gather the people. Says Sephardim, Moshe and Aaron, they brought the water not out of the rock, but they brought the water from somewhere else, right? Where did that water come from? It came from that water. That water that protected them from, that flooding water that protected them from the Amorim, that was the water that Moshe Rabbeinu ended up bringing up through the rock, at the rock. Okay? Now, so it all comes together, right? That the Sephardim says Moshe brought the water from a different source. Miraculously, it came here, but it came from a different source. What was the source? Those flooding waters. Now, the Jewish people. Let's look at Pasuk Yud Zayin. Az Yasher Yisrael Sashira Hazais. Then Israel sang the song Ali Be'er Enula. Rise up, Be'er, and respond. Says the Sephardim. What happened here was okay. Moshe Rabbeinu brought this water miraculously, right? Now again. If this was only of the second category of miracle, right, then the water has to act naturally, but come here in a supernatural way. But it's got to act naturally, okay? The water, if the water is over there, and the water has the power to flow here, right, but something's got to get it coming. Somebody's got to bring it here, okay? So Moshe Rabbeinu could have, again, it could have been a miracle of having, Moshe Rabbeinu was going to use the staff to get the water to flow here, okay? So again, I don't know exactly how naturally that occurs, you know, how do you get the water to keep flowing when, you know, a miracle has to bring the water to come flowing here. How did it do that? I'm not sure. You know, maybe all of a sudden a bunch of irrigation ditches formed and the water is able to flow. I don't know exactly how it works. But the point is of the Sephardim that somehow or another, and the miracle is occurring, that the water can get here, but it still has to follow the it's nature. But in this case, it did something miraculous. The water went upwards because where the Jewish people were was higher than where those floodwaters went. So it came out that the water was flowing downwards, right? As gravity would pull it, it flew upwards. It flowed upwards. That means the Jewish people saw that this water isn't your regular water. It's not regular water that's just coming here in a miraculous way. It's miraculous water. If it's miraculous water, then what kind of a miracle do we have here? The third category. Because water does not flow upward. It can't. It doesn't. It doesn't. So if Moshe Rabbeinu was only doing the second type of miracle, but from Moshe Rabbeinu's point, that's all he was doing. Moshe Rabbeinu was only doing the miracle in the manner of the second category. He doesn't act, and and a miracle occurs to bring the water here in a natural manner. But then at the end of the day, though, the water didn't come in a natural manner. It came in a supernatural manner, because it had to flow upwards, which it can't do. So it comes out at the end of the Rabbeinu Shalom showed the Jewish people, not through Moshe, but through himself, that I'm here. Something's happening here that's completely supernatural. This can never happen naturally. That means I'm here, you don't need nature, I'm here, wherever you are, I'll take care of you wherever you are. So at the end of the day, Vayikadesh Lam, at the end of the day, Hashem was sanctified through those waters. Because later on, because when those waters arrived in the manner that Moshe wanted them arrive, wanted natural water to arrive, he was going to bring natural water here, it came out of that natural order, didn't act naturally. And therefore, the third kind of miracle at the end happened, so the Jewish people should see the greatness of Hashem. It says, the Sefornu, this is why it says, Oz Yasher Yisrael. Then Yisrael sang. It doesn't say Moshe sang. This was the Jewish people singing. Moshe actually couldn't sing here. Moshe really couldn't be the one to lead the singing here. Because the whole reason for this miracle that the Jewish people sang was only necessary because Moshe didn't do what he was supposed to do. So the Jewish people sang because they recognized Hashem's greatness, so they sang. But Moshe wasn't going to be part of that singing because of the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to do it in a manner that she shouldn't have had to have needed this miracle. Because he didn't, that's when the miracle took place, and that's where they sang the song.
And why didn't he do it?
Because, as the Sefornu says, that he didn't believe the Jewish people were worthy of it. And therefore, that's why he didn't do it. But the Sefornu doesn't just say Moshe Rabbeinu's problem was he didn't trust the Jewish people. But rather, he didn't follow Hashem's command. The word of Hashem was speak. That means Hashem was saying, no matter how unworthy they are, speak. I want the third type of miracle. I want to show them who I am, no matter how unworthy they are. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu deviated from according to the Sefornu.
He was frustrated?
Doesn't say that. It says that Moshe, according to the Sefornu, doesn't say anything about frustration. According to the Sefornu, it says Moshe thought the Jewish people were not worthy of it. Good night.
Thank you very much.
Korach
was many years before, but what happened in the last 5 years?